Thankful for God's love tonight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5. And excited about the message tonight. And last week we talked some about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our lives in guiding us and directing us. And we're going to do so again tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 will be in verse 8. And this may be a familiar passage to some of you. So let's, once you found it, if you'd stand with me in honor of God's word, we'll get right into it tonight. Grateful to be in God's house, and always good to see God's people this evening. Again, just a reminder, glad you're here tonight, but being here is half the battle. Amen. The other half is receiving what God has for you. And so I'm glad you've made the decision to be here, but let's also be wise and make the decision to ask God to work. I know there's not a whole lot to expect from Tad LaGrosse. And I get that, but there is a lot that we can't expect from God and from His Word. Amen? And I just want to be a vessel in His hands, and so let's just open our hearts and then really ask God to work tonight. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We can sum that up and say, you weren't saved, now you are, so act like it. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." You think about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and just go on and on, all the way through all the fruits of the Spirit that's found in Galatians. And that the fruits are summed up right here. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." So you want to be acceptable to God, then fruits of the Spirit. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness," because that's not acceptable to God, "but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." In other words, the light, the Word of God, reveals to us what's in darkness. It shows to us in our lives even what shouldn't be there. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So the title of the message tonight is A Life of Understanding. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you and thank you for your word and for the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help me, Lord, to be true to your word. Help us to live according to your word. And as we look at this, how the Holy Spirit certainly helps us with this understanding. And Lord, that we can live the way you want us to live. I have no doubt that this Wednesday night crowd desires to please you and wants to live according to your will and to be guided and directed by you. And Lord, to be protected by you and God, to be instructed by you. So help us as we do that. Lord, I know we have people who have a desire to live a serious life tonight, a Christian life. And so, Lord, help us in that area. And, Lord, there's other needs. I have no idea what they are, but only you and your word can meet them. I pray that would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Be seated. How many of you have ever been lost? Raise your hand. Now, there's a difference between, got to figure out where I'm at and not really 100% sure, but I'm not lost. Like, I can get back where I came from and lost. So how many, let's ask that one more time. How many have been lost? Okay. Like, lost. But Carlos, I'm going to talk about him for a minute. I went out hunting with him, and he told me about going hunting. He had no clue where he was, where he was going, or where he came from. And he ended up out on a road somewhere, not even sure which direction to go. Now, that's what I got out of that story, Brother Carlos. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. That's what you made me think. So I can't imagine that. I've never been lost in that manner, out in the woods and just out in the middle of nowhere. How many of you have lost your kids, obviously temporarily, but I mean, you know, you at the store or what, you're like, where are my kids? It's kind of scary, isn't it? I just saw a couple people thinking about that and then raise their hands. I remember one time Levi got separated from his babysitters and he ended up getting picked up by the police. And the Child Protective Services got involved, and it was a mess. It was a real mess. But we were at camp taking care of teenagers, and our 3-year-old son decided to walk the neighborhood, he got lost, you know. That's scary. It's scary right there. Nobody likes to be lost. No, I mean. Okay, how many of you were a kid, you remember getting lost yourself? Anything like that? Some of our hands. It's not fun. Not at all. But that's where many Christians spend their lives. Christians. I'm not talking about lost versus saved, as in, you know. But many Christians kind of spend their lives not knowing where to go. Without discernment. Without direction, without knowing what to do, looking back and thinking, how did I get here, and where do I go from here? They end up on a road. They have one of two directions to go, and they don't know which one's the best direction. Maybe that's different than, you know, when God brings a circumstance in our lives, and we are trying to please Him, live for Him, and we're like, okay, God, I need faith, knowing which decision to make. I'm not talking about that. We need direction in those areas too in our lives, right? But sometimes there are Christians, and my hands up, I've been there in my life where I just didn't have discernment, and I didn't have direction to live out God's will for my life. And one of the most practical ministries of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of guiding our lives and for the life that God has for us. Because here's the thing. We need guidance. Amen? No matter what role you play as a Christian, no matter who you are and where you're at, if you're saved, you need God's guidance in your life. You need God's direction. And you can have it, by the way. It's not that it's unavailable. It's hard to attain. It's not that it's not there. It's there. And you've got to have it. And through... there's several means God has given us. We're going to talk about really kind of the work of the Holy Spirit tonight and how He can guide our lives. But you can live a life confident, knowing, not necessarily knowing the outcome, not necessarily knowing how things are going to work out exactly, but knowing you're in the center of God's will, and He knows how it's going to work out. I don't know what Android phones say when you use the GPS and it's just there's no service available or your location is not available. But the Apple Maps literally say location not available. I'm like, you know, I need to figure out where I'm going, but it can't even figure out where I'm at, right? Location not available. The blue dot just isn't doing what it's supposed to do on that map. And maybe out of range of satellites or whatever, but maybe blocked by trees or a rural location, but location not available. And that's kind of frustrating. You kind of have to actually use your brain and figure out where you're at now. Or pull out a random Nally's Atlas. I think I have one in my garage, actually. How many of you know what an Atlas is? Any teenagers know what an Atlas is over here? Okay. How many teenagers have used an Atlas? Okay. So I thought. It's a map, okay, and it has lines on it that are roads. It's pretty neat. But it's frustrating when it doesn't work, honestly. And even more frustrating is to be at a place in your life where it seems like there's no guidance available for the decisions you need to make or the direction that you need to go. And it's at those times, though, that the Holy Spirit is trying to kind of pinpoint where you're at. You know, trying to let you realize where you're at in your life and in conviction and trying to get your attention. And with His help, with the Holy Spirit's help, with His guidance and with His direction, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have that confidence. You're in a place where you've never been before. I get excited about it. I'm the kind of guy, I love driving in big cities. Now, I would rather live in rural country area, miles and miles of just my own land and property, and I love that kind of life. But I also thrive in crowds and big cities. I mean, I get there. I'm a West Coast driver, and which means, you know, if you want to get anywhere, you get there on purpose and intentionally, and you have to cut people off. It's expected, because if you don't, the car behind you is going to honk at you for not moving fast enough. I don't know. I love doing that. My wife's not huge when it comes to stuff like that. She doesn't love that. Like, we're in a huge crowded area where people are just, there's countless people walking around. I grab her hand and she's like, just lead, babe. I'm like, let's go. And I'm like weaving traffic as I'm walking. Let's go, you know? And, I don't know. I like that kind of thing. And I do well with it. And it is something that I thrive in. But there's a confidence there that I guess Sandy doesn't really have. She's a great driver. She's an excellent driver, but she doesn't love it, you know. And I do. There's a confidence that comes with it. And there's a confidence that comes when you know that you're being guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Because my confidence that I have in leading my wife, or, you know, driving in an LAX area in California, and she just says, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes, and you just go. I'm like, let's go. And I'm gone. And I'm driving I-10, you know, just weaving through the traffic. But she gets a confidence. She doesn't really like to watch what's happening necessarily, but she gets a confidence that we're okay, we're going to get there. When you're guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of God in your life, you might not know exactly what's going to happen. You might kind of have to shut your eyes. Okay, I'm taking the step of faith here and trusting God, but at the same time, you have a confidence. The Holy Spirit's guiding, you trust Him, and you have confidence about it. And Holy Spirit does that through a couple of different ways. But we need the ability to know God's will. And we need the ability to identify God's will from the surrounding choices that we have. And Paul prayed for the Christians in Colossae, in Colossians 1:9, to have God's wisdom, to have spiritual understanding, so they could know, so they could live out the will of God. In Colossians 1:9, he said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of His will, with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We've got to have that in our lives, spiritual understanding. In so many areas, you need it to lead your families. You need it to make wise decisions, wise purchases. You need it to be able to choose your relationships and your friends, and you need it to, I've labeled, it's not a label I came up with, but I've used it countless times again. With teenagers, they're from a certain age, there's about 10 years that we can just call the crucial years of life, because those decisions made in those 10 years literally determine the rest of their life. Example is, it was God's will for me to go to Bible college. I have no doubt about it. It's not God's will for me to go to Bible college. It was God's will for me to go to Bible college. And it was God's will for me to go to a specific Bible college. And I went to this specific Bible college, and that one choice led me to meet Sandy. And then we got married, and we had kids, and we ended up at Lighthouse Baptist Church and at White Drive Baptist Church and Northwest Baptist Church. And all of these decisions that all of these things that have happened were a result of literally one decision of following God's will and going to a Bible college. And that happens in our lives, doesn't it? And it's not like God says, oh, you made a decision. I'm just going to, like, you know, just let circumstances work out the way that they do, and I have no part in guiding there. No, God guides and directs and helping us make decisions. And I want to mention three things tonight that will help us in what we're talking about. First of all, the direction of the Lord. We read Ephesians 5:8, where it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Before we knew Jesus as Savior, life was spiritually dark. Talk about not knowing where to go when it's dark. Scripturally, biblically speaking, we were obviously lost, but spiritually dark is a picture that is given to us. And the Bible highlights the contrast of our lives before salvation and after salvation. And I'm thankful it does that for us. It shows us the difference here. And so Acts 26:18. Go to Colossians 1:13 if you would. I'm going to read you Acts 26:18 to open their eyes. I love that right there, to open their eyes, like, oh, like, I mean, just all of a sudden, there it is, it's clear, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I preached a message years ago. I haven't preached it here yet. Why do we do what we do? And Paul is answering the question here in Acts 26:18 to open their eyes. And here's why we do what we do: to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Ephesians 4:18, just before our text in Ephesians 5, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is before salvation. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now that we know Jesus, though, it's God's desire that we walk as children of light. You were in darkness, now you're in light. Walk like you are in light. Walk as though there is light. I mean, have you ever tried to walk when it's completely dark or almost completely dark? I mean, your eyes haven't adjusted yet. You walk a little bit differently than you do when you can see clearly, right? I mean, you do. And the Bible is telling us here that you are children of light. Don't walk around like you're in darkness anymore. Walk around like you're in light. The Holy Spirit is our companion and our helper and gives us direction for our lives and desires to spread the light that he brought to our souls at salvation to guide us by the choices that we make and decisions that we make. And he works in our lives. And it's always nice to have somebody with you. Maybe you would have been lost if it wasn't for the person who was in the car next to you. Or maybe you would not have known where to go if it wasn't a person that was your companion. I've told the story about when my sister Lee got married when I was 11 years old. And we were walking around, hiking around on a mountain called Mount Sinai in Washington State. And we went too late in the day. And by the time we were on our way back down, it got dark. And we couldn't see the trail. We didn't have flashlights. We had no idea where we were going. And here I am with one of my other sisters who's supposed to be the one in charge and making the right decisions. And we're just out in the middle of nowhere. We have cousins with us. And we are literally lost. And all of a sudden, coming down the mountain, we see this light just kind of going down the mountain. And we're like, hey, over here. He comes our direction. He had a couple extra flashlights. All of a sudden, we could see. We could see well. And we didn't know where we were, but he knew where we were. And he led us down the trail and got us to our cars. And, I mean, praise the Lord. It was nice. And I thought it was cool. I wasn't worried. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah, we're lost in the woods, you know. But my sister's crying. She thinks she's going to get troubled. You remember this, Mom? And yeah. And see, I don't make up all my sermon illustrations. We got to where we needed to be because of a companion that we had there. Because of the presence of this individual. If you're saved tonight, say amen. You have the Holy Spirit who's taken up residence in your heart. You have a companion. You have his presence in your life. Notice how practical this is. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Before salvation, you could not accurately discern spiritual matters. You didn't understand how to take God's word and apply it to your life, and many times we're not even interested in it. This is a picture of what the Bible calls the natural man, somebody who is simply going through life by his own senses. But when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the heart of a believer, that person now has the ability to discern spiritual truths accurately. You've got the presence of the Holy Spirit with you and teaching you and guiding you. So you've got, the Lord directs us because of his presence. He's right there directing, but the Lord directs us also through his word. That's the primary tool by what he uses to guide our lives. Listen, this is your, I said it when we were going through our Psalm series in Psalm 1:1, this is your GPS. This is your guide. Not global positioning service, but God's positioning service. This is your GPS. This is your guide. This is what God wants to use. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And through the Bible, you see life as God designed it. Through the Bible, you understand God's principles for your living. It's never God's desire for us to wander around. It's never God's desire for us to stumble in darkness. Jesus came as the light of the word and promised that if we follow him, we'll have light for our lives as well. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. There it is. He said, I'm the light. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't know what to do. Follow Christ. I don't know where to go. Follow Christ. Honor God, exalt God. Do what Christ would do, would want you to do. As you do that, he'll guide you. Even as a Christian, though, have you ever felt that you were stumbling along in the dark? Anybody? Even as a Christian. Yeah. Holy Spirit uses God's word to reveal the light of God's truth. Now, the Bible is not a crystal ball that will allow you to see every detail of your future in advance. I'm kind of glad for that, actually. But it will provide guidance needed for each step of the journey. So what do we do? How does it work? Read it. Study it. And here's the most important part. Apply it. And you can only do this through the power of the Holy Spirit within you. But recognize this, while the Holy Spirit gives you light, Satan is working very hard to blind you, isn't he? Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That was 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. If I said it wrong. What a contrast, though. Satan binds people in darkness. He blinds them. while Christ liberates them by the light of his word, by truth, Satan blinds minds in unbelief, and the Lord leads people in faith. We spent some time in Psalm 23 not too long ago. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's God's desire, Christian, to lead you. Teenager, it's God's desire to lead you, to give you the ability to know what decision I'm to make, to discern God's plan for your life. I had desires. I had plans. I think all of us did. I had plans. I had thoughts of things that I wanted to do, but God had his plans. And I wanted to honor God with my life. I wasn't real good at it, but I wanted to honor God with my life. When God revealed his plan for me, I didn't know all the whole plan. I knew one step of the plan. For me, it was go to Bible college. Yeah, but what about everything else? Just take this one step. Take this one step. Yeah, but I want to be an NBA basketball player. I would have been a good one too, Brother Carlos. He's like, whatever. He's right. But I had my desires. God had his plans. It's God's desire to lead you. Follow his steps. How many of you know somebody who is really good at hearing, but not very good at listening? Don't elbow your spouse. It's like the Charlie Brown cartoon, right? The teacher. Wah, 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 wah. They can hear the teacher, but they're not listening. Right? There's a difference. There's a big difference. Sometimes we too have trouble listening to the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. God's willing to provide direction. We are able to hear his voice, but we don't apply ourselves to his word. We don't listen and pay attention to his voice. So we've got the direction of the Lord, then we've got the protection of the Lord. These two points, these first two points are the easy ones. As we commit to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as we commit to obeying him and following him, God will protect us. And God will watch over us and protect us from the harm that would easily distract us from following him and from making the right decisions. But how does he protect us? Well, go to Ephesians again, chapter 5, verse 9. Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. We get the Lord's protection by, first of all, his prompting in our lives. And he'll prompt us. He'll prod us. He'll convict us. We'll get a sense of his leading in certain things in our lives. And he'll actively work in the heart of somebody who allows God to work in the heart. He not only teaches us to apply his truth, but he prompts our minds. He pricks our hearts. He'll knock on your heart's door, and you'll get the sense of the Holy Spirit just working. You might not identify it as the Holy Spirit right away, but the more you walk with the Lord, the more you realize this has got to be God working. But you get a sense of God leading, a sense of God guiding. You can't explain it all the time, but you just know that there's this uneasy feeling or this constant direction that God is leading in a certain way in your life. If you're walking with him, if you're not walking with him, you're not seeking his word, then you won't necessarily have that understanding or that recognition. But Ephesians 5:9 teaches us the Holy Spirit prompts us, and that the Holy Spirit prompts us in three areas: goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Every time you look to God for guidance, he'll direct your choice to that which is good. Every time you look to God for guidance, he won't direct you to bad. He'll direct you to righteousness, and he'll direct you to truth. That is his fruit. That's the evidence of his discernment in your choice. And when you're evaluating areas of personal choice, let me make it more simple. When you're making a decision or guiding your family in a decision, such as maybe friendships or influences or entertainment or music or attire. Ask yourself, is this good? Is this righteous? Is this true? Because that's always the direction the Holy Spirit leads. You believe that? See, our flesh will seek to justify choices that feed our carnal natures. But a Christian who exercises spiritually led discernment is going to be sensitive to God's prompting in their life. And God's always going to prompt us to do truth, righteous, and goodness. A Christian will want his life to represent the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time. A Christian will want his or her life to represent the fruit of the Spirit. So you got to ask the question, is my life representing the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, goodness, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Go to 3 John 11. Third John, verse 11. So what chapter? There's only one. Third John, verse 11. It's always confusing, isn't it? Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Man, this King James Bible is so hard to understand. Follow not that which is evil. But that which is what? Good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Sobering, isn't it? But God protects those who follow him, and he part of his protection is a prompting. Can we make it very simple tonight? When you have your little kids with you and you're wanting to go a certain direction in a, maybe you, let's just use a game, for example, an arena. There's a lot of people around, and you're probably going to hold their hand. But there might be some occasions where they're in front of you, and you know you got to go this way. And so you put your hand on their back, and you're prompting them, you're prodding them, go this way. You're always going to guide your kids in the direction they need to go, right? God's always going to guide you towards that which is good, righteous, and true. If it's not good, if it's not that which is right, if it's not that which is true, it wasn't God guiding you that way. It wasn't. Not a very profound message. Pretty simple. But we need to apply it. That's the difference. And then the other way he protects is by his proving. Go back to Ephesians 5, verse 10. Because he not only prompts our minds by making decisions that are good, righteous, and true, but he teaches us how to discern what actually is good and acceptable to God. He teaches us how to discern what's good and acceptable to God. There's a lot of questions they're asked. Is this okay? Is that okay? Does God have a problem with this? Does God have a problem with that? And our definition of good might not be the same as God's definition. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to prove that which is good. Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In this verse, prove does not mean to show evidence for. That's not what it means by prove, to show evidence. But it actually the word there, the definition of the word is to examine or scrutinize. It suggests we need the Holy Spirit to discern what is genuine and acceptable to God, and what is not acceptable to God. There was in the ancient world, coins were made of real metal, silver and gold. In America, things started off that way, actually. Every so-called paper dollar was backed by actual metal, and then at some point it stopped doing that, and then inflation started happening and things like that. But there was no, in the ancient days, though, there was no central banking system as we know it today. And so as a result, there was dishonesty. Traders would shave off the edge of the coins and return the shaved coins back into circulation, and the coins were worth less than the value imprinted on their faces, and there was dishonesty, and those kind of traders benefited from the loss as he would keep the excess precious metal for himself. And so this spread so much so that in a single century, I read that Athens alone passed over 80 laws to curb that. But the only real check, the only thing that was actually a good check to this kind of corruption was the honest money changers. Men who not only refrained from shaving the coins, but who refused to turn the shaved coins back into circulation. There was a word for those men, and a Greek word, dokimos. I don't know if it's pronouncing that right. D-O-K-I-M-O-S. It means approve. It's the same word that's used right here when the Lord says proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In this type of proving is God gives us the ability to exercise discernment, proving what is true or what is acceptable in his sight. Philippians 1:10 is another one, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Because left to our own reasoning, we wouldn't know how to approve the things that are excellent and acceptable to God. But through the Scripture, through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has given us the criteria to actually discern. You say, okay, so what's the criteria? It's the Word of God. And we're not going to take the time to go through a list of things to answer every specific question about, is this okay? Is this all right? What does God say about this? What does God say about this? There's a lot of things that if we would just simply look at the Word of God and use the principles found in the Word of God, it answers the question for us. It does. John Owen said, without absolutes revealed by God himself, we are left rudderless in a sea of conflicting ideas about matters, justice and right and wrong, issuing from a multitude of self-opinionated thinkers. In the pages of Scripture, God clearly tells us what is acceptable to him. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us in those areas. But the choice is ours. We will either seek to discern God's will, or we will ignore his guidance and justify fleshly decisions. And the separating line is this. You've got two people. One wanting to take their desire and say, God, please be okay with this. Or tell me where God's not okay with this. And the other one saying, I want God's desires. I want to please God. I'm seeking to honor God. And so that's my goal. And the focus is on God, not on the desire itself. And that person is going to find discernment from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God. And we've been both. As a Christians, haven't we? We've been both. So then you have the instruction of the Lord. This is where we're going to close out tonight. Because so far we focus on the process that the Holy Spirit helps us discern his presence within us, prompting us and understanding his will. But now there's some commands in Ephesians 5 that will help us. So go back there if you would. Some commands that will help us use discernment. Some commands from the Bible that will help us in our decisions. And obeying these position us to be able to discern. Paul first preached in Ephesus on a second missionary journey. The city they boasted of this huge temple for the goddess Diana. That this temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The heathen worshipped there, and their worship system involved huge immorality, occultist practices. It was wicked. Paul proclaimed the gospel in Ephesus, and many people got saved and turned to Christ. Amen? These new converts, whose lives were transformed, they made a bold step. They completely destroyed anything tangible that represented their pagan worship? Any tangible artifacts or anything like that? In fact, in Acts 19, verse 19, it says, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. I've done that with teenagers. It's biblical. Hey, it's a biblical example. We piled up the, back in the day, it was tapes. Had a burning party. Then it was CDs. You know, you find out those CDs, they can fly. Like, I mean, just take off. It's pretty cool. They can be kind of dangerous too. But we would have those. I mean, I remember guys bringing in magazines they shouldn't be looking at. And everybody had something that they brought in. It was cool. I loved it. Just a commitment to the Lord. And these people, they did that. They burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And Paul encouraged this action because he knew it was impossible for these young Christians to kind of straddle the fence of compromise. They could not grow in the Lord while maintaining a connection to sinful practices. That's huge. You can't grow in the Lord while maintaining connection to sinful practices. So he challenged them to separate all that was impure and ungodly from their lives. And years later, he wrote to them. And when he did, he wrote the epistle of Ephesians. He instructed these Christians, go to Ephesians 5:11, to separate from ungodliness. And this time he referred not to just physical artifacts, but just to the whole practice itself. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship, separate from the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You're not going to have spiritual discernment if our lives are inundated and influenced by darkness of this world. And Satan knows how to get it to us, doesn't he? For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest itself, manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You see the line in the sand? He's drawn a line in the sand, and he highlighted some things. He said, you're now on the side of light. You're not on darkness anymore. You're on the side of light and truth. Don't even mess around with the darkness from which you were delivered. Live in the light. You might not have been saved out of a very wicked lifestyle of occultism or gross immorality or things like that, but it doesn't matter. Either way, the principle holds true. Christian, to walk with spiritual discernment, you must, first of all, separate yourself from that as God instructs. You're not going to have spiritual discernment if we are living in darkness. Sometimes we feel we can hold on to the world and walk with God at the same time. To do so is direct disobedience to God. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. God forbids us from that. There's a lot more we could say about that, a lot more that I have. But let's look back at Ephesians 5, verse 15. I'll give you some scripture references. Maybe you could look these up. This would help you. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 tells us to not be unequally yoked together, but there's a lot more to it with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. That's huge right there. Oh, there's so many areas of life that applies to. Your relationships, marriages, man, what concord hath Christ with Belial? I mean, it just doesn't match up. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Come out from among them and be ye separate. But we must move on from that. But a separated stand is the first place we're going to have spiritual discernment. Where am I going to have spiritual discernment? Standing separately. Second place is a serious walk. Look at Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Our walk with God and our clarity in making wise decisions and using discernment is not something to be taken lightly. And God commands us to approach life with an awareness. What we do in this life matters. In other words, what we do in this life matters. It does. Circumspectly is not a word I use very often. I think the only time I've ever used the word circumspectly is when I preached from the Word of God. on a passage that uses the word circumspectly. But you can probably see the word circumference in it. It kind of gives the idea of looking around carefully. It carries the idea of being aware of your surroundings. Being sober, be vigilant. God warns us to not just coast through life oblivious to what's going on around us. Get so caught up in the day-to-day things that we miss looking at the big picture, and we don't even pause to ask God for discernment in how we use our day and how we use our time. Because that time God gave you does matter to God. And so that's why he said, redeeming the what? Time. Because the days are evil. We're on earth for a short time. It's imperative we live our days with spiritual discernment. And so we've got a separated stand, a serious walk, and a spirit-filled life. God's third instruction in this passage in Ephesians 5 is for walking with discernment, is the instruction to be filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. See, these verses, we are so bad at taking these verses and pulling it out of context and not seeing how it fits in context. And so we just apply it wherever we want to apply it. And yes, I mean, you can do that with some things, but when you look at it in context, this is all connected with Paul was saying here. God's guidance in our lives all comes back to walking. It comes full circle. It comes back to walking in the Spirit. We study His Word. We seek to live by its principles. But the ultimate answer to the equation is the Holy Spirit Himself. He desires for us to not, for us, His desire for us is simply, not simply that we would know all the right answers, have a knowledge, but that we would know Him. Did you hear me? Because I messed it up. His desire for us is that we would not just know all the answers, but that we would know Him. We'll more fully understand what it means the more we walk with Him. But remember that walking in the Spirit is about developing a relationship with God. People think of having discernment for life decisions as some sort of gift or something reserved for special people, but here's the reality. The Holy Spirit gives discernment in our lives, and it's right there. He'll guide you into what's good, what's righteous, and what's true. And God desires for you to walk that way in your life. So, are you? It's right there available for you. You need His discernment in your life. In what areas do you need it? Every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. Our God and Heavenly Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And just practical, very simple practical message tonight. What it means to walk in the Spirit. You are our companion. You are our guide. Nobody likes to be lost. Maybe somebody here is lost. Maybe they are just, they don't know what direction to go. And they don't know how they got where they're at. And they don't know where to go from here. It's not a good feeling. But we're thankful for Your Word. Thankful for the Holy Spirit to guide us. And help us to seek to grow our relationship with You and walk according to Your prompting in our lives. Maybe somebody is so lost because they're realizing, I've been living in darkness. I've not been living in the light. I've been living according to the carnal, the natural. I've not been living according to the Spirit. I've been, my influence has been influence of that which is wrong. So my discernment is wrong as well. I don't know what need there is tonight. Lord, help us respond how You'd have us to. And You guide and direct our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.